Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, let's read verse 5 through 7. And we've read this before. In the last 2 weeks we've looked at Sarah and Hannah. But today we want to go on and look at John the Baptist's parents and how it is that John began to be conceived and born. But Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. Heavenly Father, help us as we study the text, and as I always pray, Lord, help us to see Jesus. And in his wonderful name we pray, amen. And like I said, we've looked at that. We took time to look at Abraham and Sarah, and then Hannah, who was the mother of the prophet Samuel. There was barrenness, and on Hannah's part, there was desperation. And God performed a miracle each time. And though Sarah had a husband, and Hannah had a husband, and when they conceived, it was the natural way. These two, and actually John the Baptist, and the way that he was conceived, all of these things foreshadowed and pictured Jesus Christ, who didn't have an earthly father. And we know that story. I've often said, and I'll say it again now, to get the full picture of the New Testament, you need to understand the Old. In this chapter, we'll read of Mary's angelic visitation. And it's wonderful. It's marvelous. Hallelujah. But if you don't understand Abraham and Sarah when they were 190, and if you don't understand Hannah's desperation, then you're missing out. You don't get the full picture. It's important to study the Old Testament to learn it. And honestly, everywhere you go in the New Testament, you ought to find where the epistle or the Gospels or the book of Revelation quotes from the Old Testament, because it gives great context. But let's move on. In verse 8 through 13, and it's speaking of the priest Zacharias. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot or his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And again, there's context. Don't have time to go through, for instance, in Exodus, where God said, hey, Moses, your brother, he's going to be a priest. We don't have time to go through Leviticus. We don't have time, but the context is necessary. But in verse 10, to continue the narrative, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside or without at the time of incense, when the incense ceremony or whatever took place. And there appeared unto him, Zacharias, an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Just like Hannah, her prayer was heard, like we studied last week. But he said, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So, if you know the story of Mary's visitation, and it's in this chapter, and in a week or so we'll get to it, you know that this is very similar, very similar. Zechariah was in the temple, and in fact he was in the holy place, and he was there alone, and an angel came to visit him to tell him of a birth. Mary was alone, and the angel came to her, telling her of a birth. Again, it's very similar. But let's take a look at all of this. We'll talk about the priest's office and his order. His course was in order. He came at a certain time of the year, and he did a certain thing, but again, we'll get to that in just a little bit. But he was in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, the room before it. So he was not in the same room with the Ark of the Covenant, but that piece of furniture was just a few feet away, on the other side of the curtain. But he was standing at the golden altar, and his job was to burn incense. But it says in verse 11 that an angel appeared to him as he was doing his job. But the angel stood on the right side of the altar of incense. And it says he was troubled and all of that stuff, and we understand that from our study last time. But he's at the golden altar. He had a censer, which was some kind of container that the incense was in. They would take from the brazen altar out in the main part of the tabernacle. They would have already made the sacrifice, the animal sacrifices, whatever, for that day or whatever. And the coals were continuing to burn, and they would take a shovel or what have you, little shovel, and they would put some of the coals, they would take it from the brazen altar into the holy place and put the coals on the golden altar. And then the incense, was it frankincense or I don't remember what it was. There's a list of the spices used that's given in Leviticus. But the burning coals were there, and he would sprinkle these spices, and you know what happened. They began to burn, and it says that they had some kind of smell. There was fragrant and what have you. He was doing his job, the priest. The angel came, and it says that he stood on the right side of the altar of incense, or the golden altar. And as I said, pretty much everything that you find in the New Testament, you will find in the Old. In the book of Ezekiel, the prophet is taken by a vision or something, I'm not sure exactly. But he's taken to heaven, and he's given a tour of the temple, the one that's in heaven. And he was shown this, and he was shown that, and he was told this, and told that, and what have you. But it says that the man with the line, or measuring line, in his hand, he brought him to the door of the house, the house of God, the temple. And it says that water was running out of the door, underneath the threshold. And it says that it went eastward, the stream of water. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And that matches the description in Exodus, when God told Moses to stand up the tabernacle. But it says that the water came out up underneath the threshold, and that the house was facing east, and the water came down from underneath the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So this description, and this passage is wonderful. I've taught it often. It's a wonderful picture of sanctification if you read the whole passage. But the orientation of the house, the temple in heaven, it points to the east, and water comes out at the right side. And this angel that interrupted Zechariah as he was doing his priestly job, that angel stood on the right side of the altar. The orientation is the same. The imagery is the same. And I'll say it again. You're tired of hearing it, but I'll say it again. If you want to understand the New Testament for real, you have to go to the Old for context. And probably half of the New Testament is pretty much a direct quotation of the Old. So, this establishes a lot. The prophet Ezekiel, he's being given a tour of heaven. But heaven, represented by this angel, heaven comes down into the holy place, interrupting the priest, and I think this is amazing. This blesses me. To study the Word of God and to get references from the Old, and we get more insight in the New, to me, this is what Bible study is all about. That we understand from the Bible the things of God. I've been studying like this for decades, and I wouldn't have it any other way, honestly. But back to this angel. The angel said, "Hey, Zechariah, I know you don't got no kid," just like Hannah, just like Sarah. "But your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John." "Oh, Sarah, you laughed? Well, guess what? You're going to call your kid Isaac," or laughter, just like we studied last week. But verse 14 and 15, Zechariah, your prayer's answered. You guys are going to have a son. You're going to name him John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Joy and gladness kind of goes with laughter. So you see that this is multifaceted. One little passage, I guess this is 9 or 10 or 11 verses long, this passage. But you get a reference to Abraham and Sarah. You get a reference to the prophet Ezekiel. You get a reference, perhaps, when Isaiah prophesies of the coming Messiah. You get all of these references just by reading the text and remembering what we might have read in the Old Testament. But the angel goes on. He says, you're going to have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And if you know the story, when Elizabeth went to visit Mary, that as soon as they greeted each other, John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy. He was full of the Holy Ghost before he was even born. And he recognized Jesus who was in Mary's womb. And he rejoiced that the Messiah was come. And in the weeks and months prior, I preached on exactly that. And again, we'll study more in detail. And like I said, we'll get to that passage in a week or two. And you see that the angel is prophesying of what would happen at that meeting between Mary and Elizabeth. But it says in verse 16 and 17 that many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah or Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So you see, all the study we've done for months and months, we looked at Elijah, we looked at Gilgal, we looked at chapter 3 of Malachi, and we looked at chapter 4 of Malachi. And in these two verses, verse 16 and 17 of Luke chapter 1, it mentions that the Lord is coming. And that John the Baptist, his ministry, he would walk in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And then, and we read of that in chapter 4 of Malachi. But it says to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that is a quote from Malachi chapter 3. And I made it a point to go through the book of Malachi verse by verse so that we can marvel at the wonderful things that God does and all the preparation that he did. He sent a prophet, he sent another prophet, and they all prophesied and testified and foretold of the coming of John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Testament, although we read about him in the New. And he pointed at Jesus Christ and said, hey, that's the one, that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. the big event in all of human history, the thing that matters most out of everything that's ever gone on ever since the Garden of Eden, is that Jesus would come, the Messiah, the Christ would come, the Savior would come, and He would offer Himself a ransom for many, it says. He would give His life for the sins of the world. And finally, after it's been about a year we've been studying John the Baptist, finally we see, hey, John is finally here. And then he introduces Jesus Christ. Jesus is the focal point of history. And again, he's the biggest thing that ever happened on planet Earth when God came down from heaven and became a man just like us and lived a perfect life and then died on Calvary for our sins. This is it. This is it. This is what the Bible is all about. And in our painstaking study, our interminable study that's lasted over a year now, we've laid all of the foundation. We've looked at pretty much all the references that I could come up with to show that John, he would identify Jesus. And I'm so happy that Jesus died for me. So happy, so happy.
As we look all around us, we see all of the fields of white. They're ripe and done to harvest, yet so quickly comes the night. Christians, we must get busy, oh, there is so much work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. So trump of God will call.
Been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.